Hey guys, welcome to episode number 17 with Rachel and Jessica. You are listening to the Sensory Project Show. We are so happy you're here and we are super excited that you guys have been talking with us on social media, asking us questions, and just giving us all the feedback.
Okay, so we would love it if you could go leave us a review on iTunes. It helps get us out there in the world and gets us up in the ratings so we can help more people. So pause right now, go leave us a review, come back. Okay, did you do it? Okay, good. So now we can talk about today's episode. We're going to talk about handwriting.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about how hand development comes about, the progression of grasp patterns and handwriting skills. And of course, we're going to dive into all the ideas and tips and strategies for you guys to use.
Okay, are y'all ready?
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so before we can talk about handwriting, we have to talk about how hand skills and grasping patterns are developed, because there is kind of a progression
or a sequence
of how it all comes about. And it really starts with an infant being in tummy time, prone on their stomach.
We could do a whole episode about tummy time.
It's so important.
And we've talked about crawling in the past before, but all of these early steps that are hard for babies, well, that's kind of an indicator that you need to do it more and put them on their tummies and facilitate that crawling pattern. So that is really helpful. And just, I mean, even thinking about crawling, I never want to push walking too early.
Yes. You always want to try to make sure your child crawls, because they're going to put weight through their arms. And that's going to work those arm muscles, those hand muscles, their core muscles, their neck muscles. And you need all of those muscles to be strong in order to be able to sit upright at the table and to then write.
It really does set your kiddo up for success. Like, you wouldn't even believe. We could go into so much science behind it, but we're not, because that's not our passion. I mean, it is, but you know, it's,
there's research behind it.
So that's where handwriting truly begins.
So just making sure if you have an infant that they're getting all that tummy time. If you have an older kid too, you can still get them into that position where they're laying on their stomach and they're propped up on their arms to work those muscles. Mm-hmm. And then with crawling, your older kids can still work on that with obstacle courses.
Yes.
Playing with younger siblings. Climbing is also a good one that's going to work those muscles, like rock walls and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We like to play a lot of games and do activities in those different positions.
Yes.
We have them weight bear over peanut balls and therapy balls, even holding like alternating, we call them alternating quad extensions. So you have one arm up and one leg up on opposite sides. So anytime that you can have your kiddo weight bearing is what we call it. So just putting their weight on their arms
with their hands open.
Their hands open.
I think that's huge, is that they have to have a flat hand on the ground.
Facing forward.
Yep. To work those hand muscles.
Yes. Because if their hands are turned around, so you're...
they're pointing out to the side.
They're pointing to the side, or they're pointing back towards their knees. They're just hyperextending their joints and they're not actually strengthening anything.
Yeah.
So that's really important to keep in mind.
And then going back to just hand skills and the function of the hand, you want to make sure that you're providing your child with toys that are the right size for their hands. So when you pick out a toy or a game, a lot of times it'll have like the age on it, like 3+ or 2+. And a lot of times it's an indicator of the cognitive processing that's involved, but also the size of the toys that are involved.
Yeah.
So that's huge for your child to be able to grasp a toy that's the right size for their hand to then work those hand muscles.
Yeah. An example for you guys relating to the appropriate size and modifying these activities is I have an infant that we're working on an inferior pincer grasp. Let's just like pinching a small object and picking up. So think about when they pick up a Cheerio and they feed themselves. So we're working on that. And you've seen those peg puzzles that make noise, and the little red pegs are really small. We were working on just picking the peg up and not actually doing the puzzle. So just picking it up, he's getting that pinch, and working on that. So think about how you can just modify those toys as well, because there's a lot of ways that you can buy a toy that's going to be beneficial down the road
and still use
and
it
and still
right
be
now.
Able to use it.
Yeah, totally.
Incorporate it.
And I like that you brought that up too, because there's different grasping patterns at different ages.
Yes.
So you talked about the pincer grasp, mm-hmm. and that is your thumb and your index finger. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, I mean, there's so many different grasp patterns that we don't need to go into, but you really want to look for grasping patterns that use those strong fingers, mm-hmm. which is your thumb and your index finger, and then your middle finger as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you want to try to help facilitate this. I mean, when your kids are getting a little bit older, you can place an item for them to hold down in their pinky and their ring finger. So hold it in their palm. So that way, and I'm doing it here again, you guys.
I know, me too. I'm doing it too.
So they have to hold that coin down or that toy down. So that way they're using their, we call it like a tripod grasp, or their pincer fingers. Pincer fingers. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, pincher or pincer. Yeah. I think the technical term is pincer.
This. It is.
But when I'm talking about it with kids, I always say your pincher fingers.
Because, you know, I'm going to pinch you with those fingers.
They associate it, mm-hmm. and then they know what you mean.
Yeah.
Let's talk about grasping patterns for writing utensils. So these are your crayons, your markers, your pencils, your pens. Anything.
Spoons can be incorporated in this.
Yes, because you're going to use a very similar grasp on your eating utensils as you are on your mm-hmm. writing utensils. Yeah. So I think this is a tricky topic, because some people say that larger writing utensils are better, and some people say that smaller writing utensils are bigger or are better. So this one's kind of tricky, but I feel like there's pros and cons with both.
Yeah, I would agree. Should we talk about this?
Okay. So what are the pros and cons for a larger writing utensil, like those big fat markers?
The big fat markers, like the paint dots.
The dot paints, those are good. Yes. Yeah. Or even just like the Crayola markers. They have skinny Crayola markers and they have fatter ones. So those fatter ones, I feel like are good for younger children.
I'm trying to think of the pros. Younger kids don't have like an appropriate grasp yet on, so they can't hold a pencil with like a tripod grasp.
Yes, because their hands haven't developed yet, and they need to have that more gross whole hand grasp first.
Yep.
And so that can be a good one for like your infants. Well, not necessarily infants, but
your toddlers,
1 year old,
that they're
to start.
Kind of, they're interested in crafts and creating things. Yeah,
and using those bigger ones.
And that
them.
Way you can kind of let them explore with those ones a little bit more.
Yes.
So you can let them kind of figure out how to hold it, what's comfortable, mm-hmm. move between a variety of different grasps. Whereas with a smaller utensil, you're going to want to facilitate a more age-appropriate grasp
with their fingers. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the smaller writing utensils have a lot more pros for sure.
Yeah.
In order for us to have good control when we're writing or drawing, we have to have control with our fingers.
Yes. And it actually starts in your shoulders.
Of course.
Kind of like with the crawling. So if you think about a kiddo who doesn't have good strength and control of their shoulder muscles, well, then there's no way they're going to be able to write.
Because your shoulder muscles are going to help control your forearm muscles. Mm-hmm. Your forearm muscles help control your finger muscles.
So we call that working proximally to distally. So you work from closest to the body to away from the body.
Big to little.
Big to little.
Your bigger muscles to your little muscles. So when you give a child a small writing utensil, it ideally is going to facilitate a grasp with their fingers to then help them work on that control. But what do you do if you have an older child who is still using a full palm
fisted grasp
mm-hmm. with that small pencil? Do you continue to give them a small writing utensil? What are you going to do?
I wouldn't. No. If they're an older kiddo, I would make it smaller. Yeah.
I'd break it in half.
It's half the size.
So they can't fit it in their whole hand.
Yeah, there you
right?
go.
Right?
Yeah. That would work.
Broken crayons.
I do love the broken crayons. But I think that it's important to make sure that you are assessing all of the skills and you're yes. saying, you know, let's if you're not ready for the pencil or the small crayon, take a step back, work up to it. But I do love broken crayons.
Yes. I do. Rock crayons.
Love rock crayons.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We need to put those in the show notes because rock crayons are the best.
Okay. So the next thing we wanted to talk about was the different positions of the table or the writing surface, however it is. And I have a really good example of this that happened the other day to me. So you've got your horizontal, you've got the table, vertical on a wall or anything that's angled like that, and slant boards, things like that. So the other night I was writing on my chalkboard and it's on my wall. And I was getting kind of detailed. I was putting some good work into it. It looks really great. And I'm like, holy cow, my arm hurts so bad.
So tired.
Yeah, but I think that was a really good thing for me to notice because we have our kids do things on vertical surfaces all the time.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so
my
good
favorite.
Because you get to work on those shoulder muscles and those finger muscles at the same time. You guys, if you haven't tried it, then you should probably try it. See how long you can make it. Because I was like, oh my gosh.
You know, yours are so tired. Yeah. The other thing that I really like about having kids do writing activities or drawing activities on a vertical surface is it really focuses on their grasp.
It puts them in a great position.
It does. It's so good. And so it can just be such a great, easy thing to do. And they make vertical surfaces for
easels,
little kids. They
yeah.
make those easels.
Mm-hmm.
And so those
the
are so good to have.
The only thing about easels, though, is they're at like a slant, so your arm isn't necessarily resting
sometimes.
Against
yes.
against the board.
Yeah, that's true.
And so with the vertical surface, you can rest your forearm
to get
on
those
the
finger
wall,
movements.
And then you get to use
true.
Your independent finger movements.
Yep, pros and cons.
So
but it's still good.
Make a vertical surface somewhere on your wall for your kiddo.
Your wall is vertical.
I mean, you know, a writing surface, like make it a cool wall so they'll want
to paint. A chalkboard wall.
Chalkboard wall.
Like at Rachel's house.
Yes. So I just had to share that example because, you know, my arm's sore today because
I like it. So good. So, and then just really quickly, wanted to talk about the importance of those finger movements with handwriting because I went to a course about 2 weeks ago or so, and it was about handwriting. And they showed us some research that showed that finger movements with handwriting, when children are writing letters, promotes language development. And if a child is writing their letters with whole arm movements instead of their finger movements, then it actually impacts language development negatively.
So crazy.
And it's such an interesting concept that writing letters impacts language.
And that's writing letters. That's not tracing.
Not tracing.
Letters. Yes.
Not
just coming up with the motor movement themselves.
Not connecting dots, mm-hmm. but actually doing the full motor planning mm-hmm. where to start and stop. So
I like that.
I thought that was really interesting.
So cool.
So just some research for you guys to show how important it really is. It's not just us making it all up. Okay, so now let's talk about the skill progression when it comes to drawing and writing. Because there is a progression of learning those different strokes. It's not, you know, immediately going to learn how to write the letter A first thing. Right?
Or draw a triangle.
Yeah, there's a progression. So
here's the progression. You're going to start with the vertical lines, then move to horizontal lines, then circles, and then a cross or a plus, and then moving on to diagonal lines.
So it goes from easiest to hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to also progress top down. So when you do a vertical line, you start at the top and you go down. And then you also go left to right. And this one I feel like is really good because it's also going to teach that reading skill. We read
Absolutely.
From left to right.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And I just want to talk about the top down one more time, because I know that there are a couple of different handwriting protocols, and there's a lot of different ways are teaching handwriting.
Yeah.
And one of the, we use handwriting without tears, and the, we're starting to work on and incorporate the Zahner-Blosser
yes.
protocol and the method.
And they're very similar.
Yeah. But they focus on starting the letters at the top.
Yes.
Starting the letters at the top and
going down.
Yeah. It just, it makes so much sense to me to just start at the top, go down. And then there's sequences that you say with it. So it just gets it in their head. But if your kiddo learns it from bottom up, it's hard to
reteach
that and correct it.
Yes.
But,
and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute.
Okay,
too,
great. Perfect.
About how to go about that. But, and then, of course, your vision and your ocular motor skills are going to play a huge role in these fine motor skills. Because if your child has trouble with their ability to visually track, or if they're having, like, specific vision problems, like seeing double, mm-hmm. or one eye is not working, then you're going to have to address those issues before or at the same time yeah. in different ways.
And we've talked about vision therapy before, so that could be something to look into, and we'll talk about that. We need to just have an episode about that.
Probably.
Ocular motor stuff.
Yes, we do. Ocular motor skills are so important for everything.
Yeah. Can I just say, I was talking to a vision therapist yesterday.
Of course you were.
And he was telling me that they have kiddos who won't touch books. They won't even look at books. They won't touch them.
Aww.
And then after they go through vision therapy, they're readers. Like, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, yeah. It makes perfect sense, because their vision's not reaching their brain to mm-hmm. tell them what they're seeing. So they don't understand.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Just so cool.
Oh, I do like it. Okay, so let's talk about handwriting in the classroom.
Oh, boy.
This is a hard one for me. I don't like
it. Yeah, I don't like it either, just because there's so many. There's right and wrong. People are going to say we're wrong. This isn't the right way to do it. But this is what works for us and what works for our kiddos and what research we have done. So just keep that in mind.
Yes. So the trick is that there's not an actual specified curriculum for teaching handwriting in most classrooms.
Yeah.
So most teachers will go into preschool, kindergarten, first grade, and they haven't learned a specific teaching method
yeah.
or protocol to teach handwriting. So one kindergarten teacher in the classroom might be teaching handwriting differently than her neighbor, mm-hmm. the other kindergarten teacher. And so that makes it really tricky. And it's just, it's an issue that we deal with, and that, you know, maybe someday will change. But for right now, that's how it is. And so, like Rachel said earlier, we work with the Handwriting Without Tears program in our clinic.
We do.
In our clinic. And then the conference that I just went to recently learned about the Zahner. Is it Zahner or Zahner?
I just say it really fast.
I think it's yeah. Zahner-Blosser.
I don't know.
It'll be linked in our show notes, but they're very similar. They've both been around for a really long time. They're both simple and easy. I feel like they're
yeah.
easy.
So. Yeah, and I just like the multi-sensory approach
with
that
both
they both
of them.
Incorporate.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things that Handwriting Without Tears, I'm more familiar with Handwriting Without
oh,
Tears.
Me too.
And they incorporate everything is as like a multisensory. And what we mean by multisensory, I'll give you the example of, they have a wet, dry, try activity. So you wet a sponge,
and it's a little tiny sponge that you have to, a little tiny sponge that you have to use your pincher fingers
yes.
for. So it's perfect.
So you wet the sponge, you draw the letter with chalk, you wet your sponge, and then you trace it with the sponge. And then you dry the letter with a sponge.
A dry sponge.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you're still forming the letters the exact same way, and you're saying the same thing. So they're getting that kinesthetic feedback, so it's sticking in their brain a lot more. Because if you just put them in front of a worksheet, well, they're not going to remember anything that they learned.
Not as much,
yeah.
No, for sure. It's tricky, so it is a good one. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The wet, dry, try.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to definitely talk with your child's teacher. and find out how they are teaching handwriting.
Yes.
What strategies are they using? What wording are they using? If your child is in OT, whether it's in the schools or outpatient or both, make sure there's communication so that everyone who's working on handwriting with your child is doing it the same way.
Yeah, it's going to be so frustrating.
And it's so hard.
You're teaching them one way and the teacher is doing this and the OT is doing this. The kid is going to just resent handwriting and you're going to see behaviors.
Yeah, and it's so hard for them to go to the classroom and learn bottom up and then go to OT and learn top down. Like, and I'm seeing it a lot in my sessions too, where I'm like, okay, well, I wonder how this child is learning it in school. Are they learning it bottom up or top down? Because that's going to affect my treatment with them.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
Oh, and this one is so good because my son Logan is learning how to write right now. He's almost 5 years old. He's going to be five next month. And he writes his G's backwards pretty consistently.
You
his lowercase.
Probably G's. Saw this in the Therapy Thursday video.
If you watched the gel bag writing, you would have seen his G backwards. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not something that we're really correcting right now. He works on it in school, but it's typical, it's normal for children to write some letters backwards as they're learning to write their letters. It's completely normal. It's not a sign of dyslexia. It's not a sign of a learning disorder. All children will, I mean, I shouldn't say all. Most children will write some letters backwards for a while.
Yeah. And I know that there was this activity, so I was at the conference, but I was, you know, we had our booth, so I wasn't there, but I was just peeping.
Yes,
and
you did
there
come
was
in.
There was an activity that they had you do, and you had to hold
the pencil. Oh my gosh, this was so horrible.
This is
I
what
did not
you guys
like
all
this.
Need to try this.
I did not like this second.
So make sure
I was so stressed
sure
out.
I want to try it. I should try
you
it.
You should try it. I was so stressed out during this activity.
I think I could rock it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because Rachel's good at everything.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, go ahead.
So you're holding the pencil with your opposite hand, and you are writing a sentence.
From a prompt.
From a prompt?
We were given a prompt of what to write.
Okay.
Yes.
Every fifth word, you had to write it backwards.
Oh, so hard.
Okay, so opposite hand, write a sentence. Every fifth word, write it backwards.
And you're not copying a sentence, right? So I think our prompt was write about someone who had an impact on your life or something like that. So you are coming up with the sentence all by yourself. I wrote a total of 7 words, you guys, in a 2-minute, 5-minute period.
That's
I don't
it.
Even remember. It was so hard for me and I was so stressed out.
So think about that, right?
Oh, it's so good.
We are putting our kids into these situations. Here, write this sentence. Here, write this sentence. And if you think about how hard it was for you to write with your opposite hand, write that word backwards, like that's a lot that your brain is processing. Well, that's how your kiddo feels when you're having them write and they're learning.
If they're struggling with handwriting, they're going to feel stressed out about it.
And that stress equals behaviors.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So you're going to get the melting and you're going to get the temper tantrums and the avoidance just because. Well, Jessica, you probably tried to avoid that activity too, right?
Oh, I was so slow and I was laughing and I was looking around at the classroom, or in the classroom. I was looking around at all the other tables and all the other people to see how they were doing. I was talking to my neighbor. Like, it was rough. I did not like it.
Oh, that's so cute.
If you guys try it, will you try it and then take a video or a picture of how you
Yes!
Do?
I'm going to try it after we're done here.
Oh, it's so hard. Okay. So, yeah. So, maybe we should talk
about perspective.
Oh, it is. To know how they feel.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's important to know how they feel so you can empathize with them.
Yeah.
So, maybe we should talk a little bit really quick about some things to watch for to see if your child is having challenges. Like, if you're watching your child do handwriting, like, what are some things you might
see? Some red flags.
Some red flags.
Yeah. So, here are some of those red flags to look for in your kiddos. We're going to rapid fire these, believe it or not.
As best we can. So, excessive time or labored handwriting at an older age.
Yep. Too much or too little pressure on the writing utensil.
Avoidance and negative behaviors when it comes to handwriting tasks.
A clumsy or funky grasp, and check out our show notes for some pictures.
trouble copying or imitating simple shapes and lines around preschool and kindergarten age.
Whole arm movements at an older age.
Hand fatigue to the point of frustration and avoidance. Mm-hmm.
Poor posture while seated at the table.
Covering up one eye or laying their head down while they're writing.
Letter confusion, capital letters, lowercase letters, forgetting what letters are what at about that kindergarten age.
In an older child, if they're having trouble making sure their letters are the right size.
And if they don't have an established hand dominance.
By around
3 or 4, yeah.
Yeah, preschool, mm-hmm. kindergarten age. So, as occupational therapy assistants, we work with handwriting in the outpatient clinic setting. Mm-hmm. We work on it from a visual perception, visual motor, fine motor standpoint. And when we look at handwriting, we look at 8 different areas.
You guys, that was 8. The number 8. There's 8 different things that go into handwriting.
I do feel like there's 2 things in here that are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But we'll still separate them.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is memory.
Mm-hmm. The second one is orientation.
Then you have placement on the line.
The size of the letters.
And these are the 2 that are kind of the same. Start and sequence. So where you start the letter and how you sequence the formation of the letter.
And then you have the control.
And spacing.
So that's a lot that goes into writing, you guys.
There's a lot there that your child has to do and focus on when they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard when you or I, we have pretty good handwriting, pretty good at it. But you have... It's true. Rachel is horrible. When you have to do it with your opposite hand and spell every 5th letter backwards, mm-hmm. those 8 things that you have to focus on are so hard.
Yeah.
So hard.
It's wild.
Ugh.
I'm so really excited to try that.
Okay. It's not fun. But it's good to understand.
It is. Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about some activities that you can do at home in order to increase hand strength and promote these writing skills.
Oh, this is the best part.
This is where the fun happens.
Have you been waiting for it? This is the best part. So this is the part where you should take a quick screenshot.
Yep.
And post it to your story and tag us and let us know you're listening.
Yep. And you should also be taking notes.
Of course. Oh. We are going to do a live video this week, you guys.
Yes.
So we're going to do a live video this week, and a lot of these things that we're about to talk about are going to be in our live video.
We're going to do like a demonstration of a lot of these.
Yes. So if you're...
It's going
to be fun. I'm excited. If you're not sure what we're talking about, if it doesn't quite make sense, we'll show you.
Yep. And if there's any specifics that you want to see... Let us know.
Absolutely.
So we can grab all the supplies we need.
Or if there's anything that you do that's different from what we do, let us know and we can talk about those too.
That would be awesome.
Okay, so let's do it. Oh, the first thing first though. Our children imitate everything we do.
Believe
okay?
it or not. Mm-hmm.
They do. So if you are sitting down on the couch or at the table and you're drawing or you're writing, it can be anything. You could be writing out your
grocery list
for the week. Mm-hmm. You could be writing
a note
to your daughter.
Doing a Sudoku puzzle.
Anything. Your child's gonna want to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be more motivating and meaningful for them when you ask them to write.
Yep.
And then you mentioned reading, right? The vision therapist who talked about reading.
Yeah, reading's crazy. If a kiddo's eyes aren't working together or if they're not visually tracking the letters correctly, then they're just not going to want to read. So it's really important to read to your kids every night.
Oh,
they're young.
Seriously.
I know this sounds silly, but read to them every single night.
I don't think most parents are going to think it's silly because as a parent... Like, that's what you do.
That's what you should be doing, for sure. Even as your kids get older.
Absolutely.
Reading chapter books together mm-hmm. at night. Like, whatever it is, read to your child. It helps your kiddos know that letters mean something.
Yep.
Letters tell stories.
Yes.
You have the ability to do so much when you can write.
And with those younger kids, when you're reading those stories, if you guys can point to the letters and talk about the letters, it's good. If you can follow along with your finger while you're reading, your child's going to understand. My mom or dad is reading to me. They're telling me this story, but they're using these weird symbols, these letters on this page to do it. And they're going to start to understand that concept.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's huge. Okay, now let's talk about all the good stuff.
All right, all of our hand strengthening goodies.
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them. Tweezers and tongs. Mm-hmm. So many different tweezers and tongs out there that you can go get.
Yeah, there's a ton of tongs and tweezers out there. And the ones that you want to get, they should have a little bit of force and a little bit of pressure. So they're actually strengthening your kiddo's hands.
Okay, this is one of my favorites.
This is a pretty cute one.
The tennis ball man.
Oh, the tennis ball man.
Just go to Pinterest and just go look at it.
Check it out.
It's so good.
So simple, too. This is one of my favorites. They're called squigs.
Oh, they're so fun.
They're little suction cup toys.
Oh, and they're the perfect size for little hands.
So great.
Bath toys. They're so perfect
they're
for
good bath toys. Good high chair toys. Mm-hmm. Wall toys.
Yeah.
Darts. Swing yes. toys.
Like they're good for everything.
Everything. They're so great.
Yes.
My favorite activity was doing the darts with them, though.
Yeah, that was a fun one. It was hard. It was
very hard.
It was hard. It was so good.
Absolutely.
We already talked about this a little bit, but getting your child into weight bearing on their arms and their hands, laying on their stomach for activities.
Yeah, and just think about any game that you're playing with your kiddo. Do it on the floor. If you're playing Mancala.
Yeah.
On the floor, just, you know, have them hold different positions. Make it fun. You do it too. It's going to be great.
Make it a competition if you want. I like this one. A lot of kids these days play video games. So if your kid's playing their video games, have them lay on their stomach, propped up on their forearms to play their video game.
Yep. Absolutely.
Easy peasy.
Did you just promote video games?
No, I promoted prone on forearms.
Okay. All right, the next one, opening and closing containers.
Oh, and this is so good because then they're involved in meal prep.
They are not necessarily just meal prep. I mean, think about every container that you have to open throughout the day.
Sure. I only open food containers, so I don't know. What else is there?
Packages.
Oh, boxes.
Opening boxes, you know. I mean, it's not a container, but...
Oh, it is. It contains something, isn't that...
Toothpaste. Like
a container.
I'm just trying to think of something.
I don't know. That's a tube.
It's a container. It contains something.
Okay, now you're just... Okay, anything.
Water bottles, open. Whatever
Ooh,
it is.
Water bottles is a good one.
When your kiddo's like, I can't open it. Say, well, keep trying. You got this.
And I mean, if it's really hard, you could like...
Get it started.
Your dog's drinking.
I know. He's thirsty, okay?
Yeah, you could get it started for him. Loosen it a little bit. Ziploc bags. This one's so good to open the Ziploc bag, to pinch and close the Ziploc bag.
One time we put puzzle pieces in. So we put all the different peg puzzle pieces in a Ziploc bag. And each time they were like incorporating a balance activity, they were on the balance board, bend down, pick up one puzzle piece, open the bag, close the bag, put it in the puzzle
board.
Every
time.
Yep.
So good.
There you go. There's an activity for you guys.
Easy peasy. Grip strengtheners for those older kids. Do these have a specific name or is it just grip strengthener?
Grip strengthener.
Okay, we'll put it in the show notes.
I don't know what the name is. I think that's what they are.
I think it's great.
Daniel has two of them in his car.
Oh.
He uses them.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. They're good stress relievers.
They are.
Right? Because it's like a stress ball. Mm-hmm. Which, a stress ball?
That's the next one.
It's a great one. Always, always, always using a multi-sensory approach when you're doing drawing or handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So using different tactile mediums. Drawing with shaving cream.
Drawing with pudding.
Ooh, applesauce.
Yep, all the different things. Think of dry tactile mediums like rice or beans.
Mm-hmm.
Tracing the letters within them.
A light box.
Light boxes are
cool. Oh my gosh. And then you can use like either sugar or salt. You can use the powder from a Jell-O packet so it's colored.
Ooh, we should make a light box.
So fun. I like them a lot. Sand.
Yeah. Sand's a good one.
Painting. This is a good one. Either or both. You know, holding the paintbrush because then you're going to work on that grasp. But also finger painting.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is to draw the letter on the kiddo's back and then have them draw it in shaving cream.
Oh, or that's definitely a good one.
Draw it in shaving cream on their back without a shirt. If they're, you know, appropriate.
So good.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, definitely. That really gets that somatosensory processing mm-hmm. going too.
Make sure you have the kiddo draw a letter on your back as well.
Well, of course. Why not?
Play-Doh, Theraputty, all the putties.
You have to roll the Play-Doh or Theraputty out so that it's long like a snake, and then you use it to form the letters and numbers.
Mm-hmm. You push it into a pancake, roll it into a snake, and then pinch the snake.
Oh, so good for those pincher fingers.
Mm-hmm. You could try a wet washcloth, and they have to wring the water out of the washcloth.
Going back to the multisensory approach, did you see our Therapy Thursday video, 2 weeks ago, I think? Gel writing bags. You use hair gel, gel food coloring, a Ziploc bag, some duct tape so the bag doesn't open when you're done with it, and there's your new writing Easy. Surface.
Yes. So fun.
I like that one a lot.
You could even hide different toys or items in the gel as well, like coins or pennies. Mm-hmm. Coins or pennies.
Oh, do you know what's so fun is coins or pennies?
I'm glad you just thought that.
I really like this. So you draw a maze on the outside of the Ziploc yes. bag, and then you have an item inside the gel, inside the bag, and your child has to manipulate that object through the maze, following the path.
Okay, here's one more for you. You take a maze and you print it off and you put it in a big Ziploc bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then
thing.
You put that Ziploc bag into another Ziploc bag.
With the gel.
And then you can do your finger, do an eraser, whatever it is.
But here's the thing. If your child draws their own maze, then they're going to work on even more fine motor skills.
That is true. Yes.
So many things. Well, I have to in some way.
Because you know I'm going to kick your butt in the left-handed, write five words backwards or whatever.
Because you already know how to write with your left hand. It's not fair.
That's true.
Stop.
I'm a little ambidextrous.
We need to refocus. Ooh, I really like this one. Okay, you get a piece of paper that you're not going to use for anything else, and your child uses one hand to crumple it into a ball.
But here's the kick. You can't use the table. You can't use your body. You can only use that one hand in the air.
Yeah, don't use that other hand either.
Mm-mm.
And then you have to uncrumple it. And then you have to uncrumple it with that one hand.
Oh, man.
You no guys, shaking it.
You should try this because it's very tricky.
It's so fun, though. I like
it. It's a little bit frustrating for me because I'm like, ugh.
You try to shake it out. Yeah. You can't do it. That's cheating.
No.
So anything that's going to promote what we call fingertip to palm translation mm-hmm. or squirreling.
I love squirreling. Yep.
With small objects into the palm of your hand.
Have you guys ever played Tenzi?
Yes.
Tenzi's a great game.
Dice, yeah.
Yep. Rope pulling. So this is an interesting one. We have a rope that goes up our slide so kids can pull their body weight up the slide. So if you have a playground structure at home or maybe at the park, you could take some cool supplies and have your kiddo pull themselves up the slide.
Yep, you're really going to work those hand and shoulder muscles. Tug of war with a rope or a Lycra sheet.
Oh, we did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really going to work those hand and shoulder mm-hmm. muscles. Okay, so, eyedroppers.
Let's talk about what eyedroppers are.
Okay.
Maybe we don't
How
know.
Do you describe them?
I always think about those science kits.
Oh, yeah. That's where you get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they have to
squeeze it to suck it up.
Pinch it with their pinch.
And then squeeze it to squirt mm-hmm. it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I made, at this conference that we went to for handwriting, I made a little butterfly out of a coffee filter. And an eyedropper and like water food coloring.
Oh.
So I got my little water dropper and I filled it with water. And then I had to be super careful about how much pressure I used to just drop like 2 drops on the edge of my coffee filter. And I made a little design all the way around. And then when it was dry, I scrunched it up in the middle with a clip and it looks like a little butterfly.
So cute.
And
oh my goodness.
Super fun.
Is it on your refrigerator?
I think it's on my counter.
Oh, nice. There you go. Okay. Finger games, finger songs.
Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Yes. Wheels on the Bus. Cat's Cradle is one of my favorites. If you don't know how to do it, look it up on YouTube. It's so good. Fantastic.
Finger isolation with counting. So this one is one that, you know, kids are going to struggle with, but they need to learn it. So first they need to learn counting, of course. Mm-hmm. You're going to work on that sequencing, but then counting with your fingers. 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5, so that they're isolating those different finger movements.
That's hard, you guys.
It is hard.
Cardboard cutting. Oh, we've been doing this all week, and I have very sore hands because of it.
Cutting cardboard is hard, mm-hmm. but if you get cardboard boxes from, like, getting mailed something from Amazon, which we do all the time, then give it to your kids and say, here, make something with this, and give them some tape and some scissors. I mean, supervise them as necessary, but let them cut that cardboard up.
The other thing that you can have them cut is Play-Doh or Theraputty, different things like that. Hole punchers are great.
Hole punchers are so good. Okay, spray bottles.
Spray bottles. Well, you can put water in it. You can put food coloring. You can put paint. You can put... What else can you put in there?
I think that's about it. I wonder...
Yeah. Cleaning supplies. You can have them help clean your windows.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. You can use spray bottles to water the plants.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
And it's so... It's a life skill.
To put water in the dog bowl.
Yes! Oh, my gosh. And it will take them so long, and it'll work their hand muscles so much. I love that.
Challenge them to see how many squirts they think it's going to take to fill the dog's water up.
Ooh, I just thought of this. Okay, so Logan used to have bath paints.
Yeah.
So he would paint on the walls of the bathtub, and then he had to use a spray bottle to spray it clean.
There you go. Would be fun.
Easy peasy.
Okay. Painter's tape. You saw our Therapy Thursday video about that. We use painter's tape daily.
All the time.
So many different activities with that.
But just having the kids, this is one of my favorite activities, is to put some painter's tape in different lines on a vertical surface. Usually it's a whiteboard. And then the child has to draw on that painter's tape staying on the road. Mm-hmm. And then once they're done, then they have to peel it off and crumple it into a ball and throw it away.
So that one activity works on so many things.
So many things. And it's fun. And pretty much all those kids that struggle with imitating lines and shapes, mm-hmm. it's something that they can do and be successful with. And it's more fun.
Yeah, they feel good about it.
The other one that I've been doing is with coin banks, which coin banks are awesome for those fine motor skills and those pincher fingers, is to tape with painter's tape all of the coins onto a hard surface. So tape them onto the table, tape them onto the wall or the
tape
window.
Tape them under the table.
Tape them under the table. Yes. And then your child's going to have to work both hands and their pincher fingers. Work those hand muscles, work those shoulder muscles if you're under the table or if you're on a vertical surface to get that tape or to get that coin.
And I feel like we're giving you guys so many good ideas that you're probably going to be overwhelmed. So this is what you should do. Take a Saturday, take a Sunday, make a toolbox for your kiddos. Mm,
yes.
Make a fine motor, a sensory toolbox. So when your kiddos are driving you crazy, or when they need an activity to do. When you're in the car, pull out your toolbox and give them a choice between a couple of things to do. And that way it's already kind of pre-set up. It won't take you very long to get it organized. It's there and it's easy for you. So take a weekend and just put all the work
in. Put it all together. Absolutely. And have your child help you if they're able to. Go to the dollar store. You can find all these different supplies for these different activities at the dollar store, for sure.
That's what we're going to do for our live video next week.
We are. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we talked a little bit about broken crayons. So just promoting those finger skills with handwriting and drawing and coloring. So giving them crayons that are broken so they're small and they can't hold it in their whole hand. And then rock crayons.
Rock crayons are super fun. And you can even make crayons yourself. You can.
Oh, yeah, you can.
You can melt them and you can mold them into different shapes, different, like, they're muffin tins. What are those called?
Jello
molds. Different molds, ice cube trays.
And you can make your own colors.
Yeah, so be creative here and make it fun.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all. Yes. That's a lot.
That's what we got for you.
We will do our live video. Let's see, today will be Wednesday when this launches. So we're going to do it hopefully on Friday.
October 19th.
October 19th. Stay tuned for that.
We'll definitely keep you posted. We'll put it all in our stories too so that you guys are ready for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, but don't forget about our episode next week. Because it's going to be about Halloween.
Yes, it's almost Halloween. So we are definitely going to give you an episode all about Halloween with sensory kids.
How to survive.
How to survive.
This is survival. We should call this one Survival Guide 101 for Halloween.
Oh, Halloween Survival Guide 101. I like it. All right.
Yes. All right, you guys.
Love it. Hey, thanks. Did you leave us a review on iTunes yet?
Oh, okay, you did? Oh, thanks. Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So kind of you. Love you. All right, you guys, we will see you next time.
Bye.
To work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to a pediatrician and occupational therapy.